Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to yet another episode of the GC Podcast, episode 4. I am Joe Brannon, the digital content developer on the GCI Media team. Coffee lover, and I'm going to say this again, I still hate when my socks get wet.
Well, it's been happening a lot these days. It's been a wet spring here in Charlotte.
Yes, it has.
Or end of winter, wherever we are. I've never had seasons before. I'm figuring it out.
I feel like we need to have like canoes. Well, you have kayaks.
I do.
Yeah, you need to start taking that to work, I guess.
Yeah, I was looking up rain boots this morning. Because I, too, hate having my socks wet. And this is Michelle Fleming, by the way.
Yes. Somebody that hates her socks being wet as well, it
exactly,
sounds like.
Yes.
Whenever she does wear socks.
Yeah, I prefer the toes out, but that's okay.
Oh, man, we are so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. Boy, we've got another good one today.
Eek.
Yeah, yeah. In this episode, we have our very own Michelle Fleming.
Say what? Intro,
yes.
Middle, and outro?
Yes.
Here we are.
This episode is all about you, Michelle.
No. Please, no.
She is the GCI Media Director. She is my supervisor, my friend. And I think one of the best things is my kids call her Auntie Michelle.
Ugh, one of my favorite titles in life, Auntie.
It's awesome.
And they all say it differently. Little Lily says, Auntie Mish.
Yes. Yes, she does.
And Jenny says, Aunt Mish. It's cute.
Well, she has been in ministry for a long time, been a part of many diverse teams. I was really impressed how you onboarded and have been intentionally working to unify a brand new team. That's been my biggest thing as we went through this episode and as I've experienced you as a leader. Mm-hmm. That has been the most impressive thing about you.
Thank you. That
I've noticed. But before we get into this episode, mm-hmm. a couple of announcements. First of all, this episode 4.
What
crazy.
Is happening? We're a quarter way through the year.
I know. It's insane.
Well, third of the way through the year.
Yeah. 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 Well, I guess the first one was released in December.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So a quarter of the way through this year, mm-hmm. episode 4, it has been going great. It has been awesome. But first, oh boy.
Eek.
We have got exciting news.
Oh, yeah. We had some excited dances, some celebratory dances
yes,
happening in the media department.
Yes, we have. So we just want to let you all know that GC Podcast is now available on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify.
All the places.
All
you can't
the big
hide
hitters.
From us.
Nope. We are all there. So that is exciting news. You can search for GC Podcast -GCI, or you can say -- if you want to. So GC Podcast -GCI. Subscribe to it, share it, review it, give feedback, and thank you for your patience as we've been trying to get that together. Shout out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the IT department.
Yeah.
They rocked it because it took them creating some kind of special code because of our custom website for the feed, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what all the details were. Mm-hmm. IT department rocked it.
Oh, yeah. They live the high support.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I would not be sustained without them.
And I'd say, and grace always.
Yes. Amen.
Also, don't forget, the regional celebration registration is still open. So you don't want to miss these celebrations. They're in all the different regions. They were once called the regional conferences, and it's now a time to celebrate on what the Father, Son, and Spirit are doing in our churches. The celebrations will be held in Portland, Oregon, Dallas, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Noblesville, Indiana, and Ocean City, Maryland. You will want to go to gci.org/events. That's where you can get exact dates, schedules for each celebration, and to register. You don't want to miss this. We'll share a little bit more information after this episode. So that's about it. We wanted to keep it short and sweet. This is a little bit longer episode, but it's full of good stuff. Michelle, you shared some really, really great stuff.
Thank you.
I'm excited for everybody to hear this.
Hope you all enjoy it.
Oh, they will. So let's jump to this episode and my conversation with Michelle Fleming and how she unified a brand new team. In the studio today, I have Michelle Fleming.
Hello, hello.
Now, if you don't know who Michelle Fleming is, then just stop the podcast right now. Go back to the first podcast, listen to the first podcast, and then listen to the second podcast, and you will hear Michelle Fleming.
Yep.
Because not only is she my co-host, I guess, co-intro and outro person, but she's also my boss here at GCI.
That gives me heart palpitations for some reason. Coworker, maybe.
Well, I don't even say boss. I say supervisor.
Supervisor.
Because you're not a bossy person.
No,
you know.
I try not to be.
Yeah, you're more of the overseer and guider type supervisor. So, yeah, that's what I actually call you is supervisor. So. But you're more than that.
Thank you.
You're more than just a supervisor or the co-host of the GC podcast, but you're also a lover of Jesus.
Yes.
You absolutely love Jesus. And she's also the media director, and you previously was a, were.
You were, I was.
Yeah. A middle school teacher, and then... One of the things that I've learned about you, Michelle, is your passion for spiritual formation and your heart for teaching. You love to teach, but you also, a little bit of real talk here. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's right before this recording, it shows your heart that you have for people and the love that you have for God and how you actually exert that love and you show that love, you reflect that love of God is before we did this recording, you took time out to listen to what I was going through. You have a pastor's heart.
Oh, thank you.
Is what you have because you care about people and how people feel about themselves and you love to point people back to Jesus. So I am definitely excited to have you on a actual full episode so we can dive a little bit deeper into not just, you know, who you are as a Jesus lover, but also how you have kind of formed a team here at GCI. So, and I do want to say this, that she's not on the show because she is my boss. Matter of fact, she is okay not being on the show, but I'm like, no, I really think that you need to be on this podcast and share your experience of when you became media director and how you built the relationships within the team. So that's why you're on this podcast, Michelle, and thank you for being here and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me and for that really sweet and encouraging introduction.
I know, I kind of went off the notes a little bit there.
No, I really appreciate it. And it really is a joy to be here. I always have fun. You know, it like takes a little poking to get me in the studio, but then Joe does a good job of setting a safe space for me to come and just share. So a pleasure as always to be here.
We have a lot of fun.
We do. You should hear our outtakes.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Disney podcast coming soon.
Coming soon, GCI. Or maybe not. We'll just do our own podcast.
There you go. I think they are pretty well copyrighted. They're safe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Michelle, you have worked on many different teams in the church and outside of the church. Share a little bit about those teams that you have worked on, whether it was in the church or outside the church, because before becoming media director, well, before working for GCI full-time, you were a middle school teacher, so there was probably teams that you worked with on there. So talk a little bit about your history in the church and what teams you've worked on and those kinds of things.
Sure. I'll start with the ones that were in the church, I guess.
Yeah.
My first kind of team role that I was on was actually a pair. I was along with Amanda Larson. I was the youth lead. We were co-youth leaders in the Jacksonville congregation right after I graduated from college. And that was just such a good opportunity together. We had really, really different personalities. She's very, very free-spirited, and I'm very, very structured. She's definitely probably more of an extrovert, and I'm introverted, but we complemented each other in those ways and made a team where we just had so much fun with the youth, and we were really given freedom. We were given a budget, which was really, really helpful. The pastor there, Marty Davey, he approached us, and he said, I'm going to give you this amount. You have this time during the services to minister to the youth, but then, you know, please continue to build relationships outside. And so we just were able to kind of develop our own programming. We didn't just do the time in the service where we brought the youth together and kind of gave them a message. We did that, but then we also did monthly outings, and we wanted to kind of teach them about giving back to the neighborhood as well. And so we would do one fun activity, because a lot of the youth there don't necessarily have all the privileges that maybe we grew up with. So like, we would take them to the beach, because even though it was 45 minutes away, some of them, that wasn't something they did very often. Or we took some of them ice skating for the first time ever in their lives. Wow. And so that was really, really fun. But then we said, you know, we want to, you know, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so every other month our activity would be different. We would do an outreach one month and then like a fun activity the next month. So that was kind of, I started my teamwork slowly with one other person, but it was a really, really good experience. And I grew a lot. I think I'm a lot less rigid from learning that, hey, sometimes it's good to be a little bit more flexible and go with the flow, but a structure is always a safe place to begin, in my personal opinion, as Joe knows.
And it's good knowing yourself in that way. Because the more you've gotten to know yourself and settle into, you know what, this is who I am, this is what makes me tick, this is where I feel safe of structure and schedules and those kinds of things, it makes it a little bit easier to lead others as well, especially recognizing that other people aren't that way. You know, everybody's different, which is what you and I have experienced together.
Yeah.
I hate scheduling.
His whole face changes. It does. Just saying the word, it's like insta frown.
Yeah, insta frown. I like that. But you love scheduling. And so we've worked together on how to work within each other's gift mix to become the most efficient that we can become on this team.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really crucial part of teamwork. I mean, it sounds kind of basic, but understanding that not everyone is like you. I think when we come from the framework of thinking everyone is like us, it's really easy to interpret their behavior negatively just because they're doing it differently than we would.
Yeah.
And so I think the first part of really setting up a team, I feel like I'm jumping down to a question down the road, but I would say the number one thing would be take time to get to know each other, you know, and that starts with taking the time to get to know yourself, the good side and the shadow side, because we all have it. And when we can understand who we are under stress, we can start to identify when we're going down that road that is not going to be helpful to us or helpful to the people around us. So part of knowing yourself is not just knowing your strengths, and I wouldn't even say knowing your weaknesses. I would say knowing who you become under stress. Yeah. Because we're all really, really different people under stress. And if you take the time to figure that out about the people on your team, that's how Joe and I had our conversation before the show.
Yeah.
I could see he was becoming Joe under stress, you know, and that's not good for anyone, you know? That's not what God wants for any of us either, you know? So if we know each other and our teams well enough and we build the relationships where it's safe to us to say, hey, like, I know who you are and I see you. Let's talk about this. Let's go back to our light side.
Yeah.
You know, come out of the darkness.
Come out of the darkness. I like that. So take us back to when you were approached to be the media director. Give us a little brief insight of what that looked like when whoever it was came to you and said, hey, we would like for you to become the media director.
So I was approached to become the media director as part of our relocation from California to North Carolina. The media director at the time chose not to relocate because his family was all on the West Coast. So honestly, that was such a hectic time that I cannot tell you how I was approached or when I was approached.
You kind of blacked out.
Somehow, I know Greg Williams was involved. Somehow we talked and I ended up being the media director. I don't remember. I don't know. I think if you asked him the same way, I think he would answer that way too. There was a lot of change happening. I was working in communications for church administration. Okay. And so there was kind of a little bit of overlap. I was coordinating training for our pastors and communication for our team, because a lot of our team was in the field. So there was an overlap in communications, but I basically went from being the communications and training coordinator to the media director in maybe a series of conversations. Maybe it started as a maybe and then became definite, but I can't tell you the moment it happened or even the first time I was approached. It's a blur.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but I will say this. I think that, because Greg and I have talked about it since, that it was definitely, I think, a Holy Spirit thing.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, we see that, you know, neither of us really remember a formal conversation or how it happened, but in how God has prepared me and prepared the rest of our team and just allowed such a smooth transition to happen, I think one of us, maybe both, hopefully both of us, definitely both of us, were yielded, you know, one was inspired and the other one yielded probably to the lead of the Spirit, because, it was... the weight of it hit me, it was kind of like, how did this happen? And I tried to think about it, and I don't really know, but I know that God has carried us, our whole team, and the whole organization as we transitioned through that very hectic time.
Yeah, because the home office was moving from Glendora, California, clear across to the opposite end of the United States to where we are now, Charlotte, North Carolina. And so pretty much the whole media, matter of fact, the whole media team that was there in Glendora was not relocating. So with that happening, there was somewhat of a scramble, not really a scramble, but a very intentional looking into, okay, what are we going to do in Charlotte, North Carolina, as far as a media team? So when you were approached and you started journeying down that road, I know it was a long process and everything, mm-hmm. and the weight of it started to hit, what was like your thought process at that point? I mean, did you sit there and start thinking, okay, I need to form a team, or did Greg sit there and say, hey, we need to have a whole team, these are some of the people that I'm thinking, or, you know, these are the types of roles that I'm thinking? So how did that go about?
A big thing that I've learned from Greg is you don't take a person and squeeze them into a role, right? Mm. You take a role and you take a person and help develop that role for that person. And so, you know, and thinking about all the teams I've been on and you know, what makes me like to work collaboratively with other people is that if I was going to say the number one thing I'm passionate about, it's creating a safe space for people to leverage the gifts that God has given them for His glory. Like, that's why I liked being a teacher. You know, before that, I even worked in health insurance, and that's hard to do in health insurance, but I wanted to create a safe place for people to be able to maximize the benefits that they had.
Yeah.
You know, have conversations, what would be the best plan fit for you. So in any role I have, anywhere I go, my goal and my passion is, hey, let's just make a culture, let's shift culture and make a safe space for people to thrive. So once it was decided that my role was shifting to become media director, it's like, well, how can we create a safe space for people's gifts to thrive? And before, a lot of our work was done by the team there, or it was done by contract workers, and so professionals who weren't necessarily associated with GCI. And so in taking over the role and having had experience, you know, in the field training pastors and leaders, you know, we have a lot of talented people here in Grace Communion International who are members of Grace Communion International. So why would we not tap into that pool and recruit the team that way? So we have 3 full-time employees on our team in the office, but a lot of our content is now developed by pastors who are writing for us, who are creating content, who are giving us insight. I think that's how the conversations really started, is who do we know? What kind of content do we need created? Who do we know that knows GCI that could really help develop the content? And so we didn't even think about degrees or, you know, fine skills. It was like, who has the raw talent that, because we can develop raw talent. But most importantly, who has a heart for GCI? Because media is really, as I'm passionate about culture, media is really sharing the culture of who we are, the story of how Jesus is working in our fellowship. And so the number one thing that we started looking for members of our team is who's passionate about GCI, who understands the culture of who we are. And if they have some raw talent, let's give them, you know, the skills and tools they need to develop that talent.
Yeah, yeah. And that's definitely what I've experienced as being invited to be part of this media team. And then as I've been hired on and have developed is I'm noticing that the one of the reasons why I was approached was not because of my, you know, skills of the camera and audio and all that stuff, because I had very limited skills, quite honestly. But I have a passion for the church. I have a passion for Jesus, and I love GCI to death. And I'm noticing that's probably the main reason why, you know, I was approached, was because of that heart. And because it's not just in me that I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in other people, because as I get to talk with other people, they're like, yeah, I really didn't know how to do this job right here, but I love the church. I love GCI. I love Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the gaps are filled. It's not like, you know, I won't even just speak to media. You know, you look at the job people are doing, and they're doing a great job. And I look at our content and I think it's professional quality work, but also it reflects who we truly are.
Yeah.
And that's so important to me. Reflecting who we truly are is important, and then we're going to have that quality as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to work hard to make sure that we develop those skills that maybe we didn't get through a formal education. And it's just interesting looking back on how God prepares you through things that you wouldn't necessarily think were a direct correlation, you know, but that's His superintending our lives. I even see that in maybe some of the unhealthy teams that I've seen. You know, when I was a teacher, the first school that I worked at, 4 people were in the job that I took in the year before. No one stuck around. It was a really, really rough school, but it had a really, really poor culture. And people did not collaborate. People just put their heads down. And there was no support. So there was no alignment. And so kids know how to find cracks in that.
Yeah.
And then I moved to another school. I actually was recruited to the only A middle school in that district. And I move over there. And it was a culture shock. And it's the same area, the same neighborhood, but leadership matters.
Yeah.
You know, and a really, really high value in that school was that teachers needed to collaborate. Mm. And so I was a 7th grade math teacher. All of our tests had to be the same. We had to agree on what our assessments would be, so that no matter whose classroom a student was in, they were getting the same, maybe not instruction in the same style, but they were being instructed and held to the same standard. And so that brought unity there. And I learned a lot through that I think has transferred here. And I think a big part of that too in working with teams is, like we talked about, knowing ourselves and knowing our team. It's knowing our strengths and knowing our weaknesses and allowing other people to fill in those gaps.
Yeah.
And that takes humility. But I think that's how you have a successful team, is knowing yourself, knowing each other, and having each other's back to say, I know, you know, Joe, I know scheduling is hard for you. Not that you don't have to do any of your scheduling,
right,
but how can I help you? How can I support you in that?
Yeah. And you have helped me in a lot of ways. You've taken a load off of me by scheduling certain things. Like you said, I have to schedule my own stuff still. Mm-hmm. I have to schedule in this job. But you have done certain, scheduling.
I do the macro.
Yeah.
But then I can't micromanage you and say, this is the day that you have to film this video. I do say, this is the day the video is due.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk more on the team aspect of it. So when you were becoming media director and this team was selected more or less by you, Greg, whoever it was that selected the media team, what did you know you had to do? Because you've sat here and talked about, you know, getting to know your team and taking humility, and I would even add that it takes vulnerability too. Mm-hmm. To sit there and as a leader to say, hey, this is a gap of mine. that I'm not good at. That's a vulnerability, because a lot of times we create this stigma in our own heads as leaders of, we have to have everything under control, and we got to be able to do everything. So speak into what is it that you knew you had to do, because this is a brand new team that is coming together.
Yeah, I think it started from the place of what will my team need to thrive, right? Because we all relocated, you know, and our personal life spills over into our professional life. You know, we need to have stability in other places. So I think my first thought was, okay, how can I onboard this team? You know, they know what it's like to be a part of Grace Communion International, but the home office, you know, is an extension of that, but it's different than being in a congregation.
Yeah.
You know, so I really began to think about, okay, how can they get to know the other people around the office? How can they have a clear understanding and expectation of what their roles are? But before I could even do that, we had to start with getting to know each other. You know, before I didn't want to make up a role and try and shove a person into a role.
Yeah.
You know, no one would be happy with that. So before, we kind of did pilot projects together. All, you know, everyone who was coming onto the team. And we just got to know each other's work, got to know each other's personality, learned each other's styles. We had weekly phone calls and just checked in and really, you know, had connecting time first before we got into, okay, what this is the project that I want you to work on this week. So, yeah, I think it was like, okay, as a person, because we're all people, you know, start person first. What would this person need to thrive? You know, and I had to start from a point of what would I need, basic needs, because I didn't know you and Charlotte that well yet. But as I got to know you, then I began to shift what each person would need in order to be successful. And I think, too, it can be easy to assume, like we talked about before, like, oh, well, I'm getting to know this person and this is why they react this way, and like assume motivations. And so I tried to take a step back and ask questions. You know, I think one time that really stood out right before we were all going to be on the ground together, I said, you know, working together, there'll be conflict. You know, so I took one of our team meetings and I said, tell me, how do you best resolve conflict? What do you need when there's tension? Not that we would even escalate to conflict, but working together, you're going to have tension. We can't just pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
So before we're in tension, what does that look like for you? What do you need? How do you react? What are some of the indicators that you're becoming stressed so that I can look out for them and then also give you what they need? But then, like you said, it takes humility. I had to say the same things too. Like, this is what I look like under stress. This is how I resolve conflict. And I think that was really, really helpful to just directly ask those questions instead of skating around them and waiting to see what happened or hoping that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And that was the thing that definitely stood out to me the most as you were leading me and Charlotte before we even moved out here and got on the ground out here, because we were all three of us were kind of, well, me and Charlotte were working with you individually before we even got out here. Like you said, the pilot projects. But what stood out to me is every time we would have our Skype call or a phone call or the FaceTime call, whatever it was, the first words out of your mouth is, how are you doing? How's the family? You got to know me as a person instead of sitting there trying to just get to the point, accomplish the task. This is my job. This is what I got to do. Because you cared about me as the individual. You recognize that Joe's not a digital content developer. Mm-hmm. Joe is a husband and a father and a brother, you know, a multiple other things rather than the job that he's doing. And so you really got to know me. And that really, that stood out to me a lot. And it made me want to actually work harder, because like, she cares about me as the person. And so when you, here was the other thing that stood out. When you would bring the challenge, I knew that you were bringing the challenge out of love for me as a brother in Christ, rather than I'm the supervisor, you're doing this wrong. You know, because you would bring challenge not just in my job, you brought challenge in my personal life too, of pointing me back to Jesus. So you developed that relational connection before we even would talk business. And that really stood out to me, is your intentionality with that. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, and I think there is that balance there. Like, there are just certain things that are expectations. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, I'm getting to know Joe. Joe doesn't like scheduling. Well, let me absorb all of the scheduling, you know, yeah, so I can care for him well. You know, that that is not empowering. That is not helpful.
Right.
It's probably not sustainable or reasonable. But it's like, okay, this is the expectations of where you need to schedule. How can I support you? And you even came back too, because I think teachability is a big part of working well on a team, and said, how are some ways that you schedule? This is not something I'm good at. This is not my nature.
Yeah.
You know, what are some strategies you have? And you asked other people too to develop those skills within yourself. But I think it all goes back to that safe place, you know, and it all goes back to not puffing up, to knowing who we are in Christ. Like, my identity is in Christ. This is how he made me to be. How can I integrate well with his other beloved children that he's placed around me?
Yeah, yeah. That don't know how to schedule. So I'd like for you to talk about after we landed out here, me and Charlotte landed out here.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably within the first month of us being here. It was like right at a month, I think. Maybe a couple months after being here.
It was about a month.
It was about a month, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was beginning of August, roughly. We had a big team meeting to kind of focus in on vision, what it is that we're currently doing, what it is that we need to do. So it was like 2 days, I think, 2.5 days, something like that, of a media meeting. We had, you know, it was the three of us plus, you know, a couple other people, key people in there. I want you to share your humility of doing a team building.
Oh, God.
activity, because I won't forget that you were looking up things to do as a team, and you, when it comes to team building for you, it looks a certain way, but then when it comes to team building for others, it, in some cases, like with me, it looks completely opposite.
Yes.
in a good way. It's just very different. Share that of how you did this team building activity. And feel free to boast about yourself.
Oh, no.
Because I will. I will.
No, I don't need to boast. But I think it goes back to the whole idea of building relationships, right? So we don't want to just come together and say, okay, this is our vision for the year. Let's create this plan and then let's separate and, you know, do our tasks.
Yeah.
Because I think being on an effective team is about having shared experiences too.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens in relational time together. And so for me, I'm an introvert. I like to process things. I like to know what's going to happen. So for me, team building is probably, you know, going to a winery or like seeing a play, something where you just absorb and then can reflect together. But I'm the only introvert on our team. And so I said, you know, this needs to be something that is going to be a little bit more engaging, where we're doing something together. And there's a really, really big whitewater rafting center here in Charlotte. And so I said, you know, I'm not an extreme sport person. I'm not a sport person at all, really.
Yeah.
I like to run by myself. That's like how athletic I am. But extreme sports, no. But I said, you know, I think that this would be a really, really good shared experience for us to do together. I asked around the team, and I don't think anyone, I think maybe Rick Schallenberger, he's on our team, he's an editor. I think he had done it, had been whitewater rafting before, but and I had, but it was one of those things where I gritted my way through it and checked it off my list and was like, I don't need to ever do that again. So, but just, you know, talking to the team and looking at what the options were, I was like, I think this would be a really, really good shared experience that would bond us together and would be memorable that we could talk about.
yeah,
for a long time afterwards.
I think I know the look that my face gets when I talk about scheduling, because I think it was the same look that you gave when you were talking about, this is what I'm thinking of doing. I really don't want to. And it was the whitewater rafting. So you handed it to me and you said, you need to, if you could please do the research on it and find out the cost and everything, that way at least I have an idea. I know this is what we probably need to do. I don't want to do it. Yeah. I don't want to do any research because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not finding joy in this task.
Yeah. And I was more than happy to take that task on because I've never been whitewater rafting. I am a sports person. I am an extreme sports person. And I've always wanted to whitewater raft. And so that's what we did. I did all the research. I shared it with you. We ended up going to whitewater water rafting, and it was an amazing experience. It really was. That it bonded our team in a way that I don't know any other. I'm not saying not any other experience will, but it was just very different because there was an incident that happened where we all ended up in the rapids. We got flipped out of the raft. Matter of fact, it was everybody but like two people in the in the raft that were all flipped out.
Even the professional got knocked out.
Even the guide got knocked out. And it's something that we shared. And it was a little bit of, it was kind of scary, you know, because you don't know if you're going to slam into one of the rocks. It's all man-made. Mm-hmm. But that experience that we shared together, you know, it's a common ground that we can go back to as a team and be like, hey, you remember that time that this happened?
And we worked together, you know, to make sure that we got out and make sure everyone was accounted for. And, you know, and there were just so many after, you know, everyone was safe. There were so many laughs that happened from that. I think that we'll talk about for decades. And
and
you had to work as a team on that too, which was another reason why I did that too. You know, you couldn't just do your own part or paddle the way you wanted to paddle. Part of that was what motivated me to say, I don't think I will have fun, but I think it would be beneficial. Yeah. And I really did it because the guide, there were two different like courses she could take us on, and she took us on the easy one, and then she's like, do you want to go to the hard one? And everyone else on the raft is like, yeah. And I'm like, oh no, don't.
even before I said yes, because I know you well because we've gotten to know each other, I looked straight at you and I gave even those little puppy dog eyes like, can we do the more challenging one?
Yeah, it wasn't my decision, but I vocalized no, but I did it. I took one for
you
the
did.
Team.
You did. So even though this, you know, working at the home office is it's more of administration. It's not working in the field in a local congregation. It's just not quite the same. What would you say to those pastors and ministry leaders based off of your experience of being a leader and having a brand new team, one person you knew fairly well, one person you didn't know. We only had like one brief interaction like 2 years prior to that, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And you pulling this team together and having that relational connection, what would you say to a pastor that might be struggling with trying to bring that unity or maybe it's somebody that is more task focused and they want to accomplish that task? What would you say to those pastors and ministry leaders?
I mean, this is what we've kind of been saying the whole time, is there's value in really getting to know each other, right? Taking the time to do that. And I think allowing people to get to know you. I think sometimes, I've never been a pastor, but I've been on a pastoral team as well. When I moved from Jacksonville to Orlando, we had a lead pastor, but then there was a team of five of us who also, you know, took turns giving the sermon, and we're the leadership team. We were the pastoral team together. And I think it can be easy to say, well, I'm in this lead position, I can't be vulnerable. You know, I can't show who I am, you know, and there was some of that perfectionism for me, you know, in becoming media director, because I'd been on teams before, but I had never, you know, it was more egalitarian, like we're all in the same role, we're a team together. Even the team lead, like in my seventh grade math department, I kind of end up in roles like that, but we all did the same job.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
So it was the first time where my job was to be the leader.
Yeah.
And in something that I don't know a lot about. And so I'm a recovering perfectionist. And so there was a lot of me at first was like, well, I have to learn everything and then disseminate, you know.
Yeah.
But in getting to know you, you know, you all got to know me and it felt safer to say, okay, this is based on my research, why I think we should make these decisions. But I'm still open to feedback if you see something else. I think it just takes vulnerability in acknowledging who you are as well and taking the time to get to know the people in your team. And then after that, I would say shared experiences and shared tasks. It's really easy, even if you are a team, to then take your roles and make them into silos, make them into, okay, I'm taking the baton and I'm running with it and just going and going and going. But that's not a successful team either. You know,
yeah.
So if you can find a way as a team leader to create shared tasks that are meaningful, where both people have skin in the game, it meets both people's passions and skills, it's gonna just bring a whole new depth of life to your team. You know, and I think that's one thing where media, we kind of have to do that. There's too much going on for us to each take our baton and run. You know, we constantly have to be passing the baton to one another, saying, okay, I've done this part, now you take it and do the next part. You know, and there's accountability because someone on your team's waiting for you. But it's not just the shared tasks. There has to be shared experiences so you can know each other and look for the gaps in one another and support each other for the good of the whole team. And a third part I would say is taking time to celebrate. I think it's really easy, especially in ministry too, to take your baton, run, and then say, okay, next baton, drop it and keep running.
Yeah.
When we need reflection time, you know, we need time to just celebrate how God filled in the gaps for us, you know, how he's leading us and to ask him what's next. Because sometimes what we think is next, we're running ahead of the Spirit. And to just celebrate as a team, you know, we accomplished this together. And then even ask the questions, what could we do better? During that same those same meetings in August before we went whitewater rafting, that's what we did. You know, we'd only been officially a full-time team for a month, but we looked back on the pilot projects we had done, on the shifts that had been made, and there was just so much to celebrate, you know, and so much of it was could not have been done by humans, you know, just all the things that were accomplished and moving for all of us at the same time. It was like, wow, God, you know, you were in this. Let's celebrate that. And then let's ask you to lead us. Where are you taking us next?
Yeah.
And hold fast to that. You know, I think, and I'm just going to give a fourth part. You know, I think having that vision has been really, really helpful too. Sitting down and not having one person stand up there and say, this is the vision, you know, saying, hey, we know that this is the vision and mission of GCI as our, as the media department. What is our role in supporting that? Refining it together and prayerfully, and then holding fast to that, because so many things will come your way saying that look like shiny, new, good ideas. But if they don't fit within the vision of what, you know, has been inspired and decided, then it may not be beneficial.
I think what has made this team so effective, when you look at it from a macro point of view, is that you as the leader, and honestly, Greg, too, you know, because it started with him.
Yeah, he's mentored me.
yeah. It is the fact that you didn't just sit there and say, hey, follow me, and I'll show you where we're going, what we're doing, and you just, you do what I say and that kind of thing. But yet, from the beginning, you sat there and put your arms around each of us as part of the media and said, we're doing this together. You know, you're the one that has the major accountability to as far as the media team, but you sit there and say, it's us, it's we're doing this together. And in some ways, probably actually in a lot of ways, it would probably be so much easier for you to be able to sit there and say, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. And just tell people what to do and or
and you do it by this date.
Yeah, yeah. It would be probably so much easier for you to do that. So when you bring a team together, and this is, I'm really speaking to pastors and ministry leaders too. It's easy to do it ourselves a lot of times, but why is it that we're really doing ministry? It's to share God's love with the world around us and to disciple other people. And a way to disciple other people is to do life on life, to bring them alongside you on whatever it is that we're doing. And that's what you do. That's what Pastor Mike has done in my life. That's what I've done with certain people. I've brought people along next to me, and we have discipled them. You can't just do it on a Sunday morning. Discipling, it doesn't... I'm not saying it can't work that way, but I don't know how effective that really is. But yet, we form these teams as pastors and ministry leaders, and we just form them to accomplish a task a lot of times. And it's like, there's disciples right there for you to disciple and point towards Jesus. So why not take this team, just like what Jesus did? He had 12. Mm-hmm. And then even within the 12, he had 3 that were really, really tight to him. What are we doing within those teams? That's what I see you have done and you continue to do, is saying, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah, I think too, we're all, you know, we're all made in God's image, but we're all different personalities and we see different things too. So if I was going to take it and be like, all right, this is my position, this is my vision, do, you know, everyone else, I don't think our content would be as effective, because yeah. I think there would be a lot of gaps in it, you know. Yeah. I think it would be catered towards one type of person. Yeah. Michelle Fleming, you know. Yeah. And I think that can happen in our congregations as well, or even in our other leadership teams, is if it's one person's preference, one person's perspective, you know, not saying that it can't be effective, but there are going to be gaps, and it's going to speak only to a niche group of people, where if we were working in teams together, we had all the voices represented, that just gives so much more diversity and reflects who God is so much more, because he is Father, Son, and Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, what really matters is the relationships. When these jobs, these positions end for us, you know, I don't think we're going to die at at the media, you know, desk. Mm-hmm. But when these end, what's going to be the everlasting piece of all of this? It's the relationship that we have together. It's mm-hmm. the shared experiences that we're going to talk about. We're not going to be sitting there talking about, you know, a particular project. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about the shared experiences, the relationships, the stuff that happened outside of media. Mm-hmm. And how are we doing that in the local church, in the congregation, in the teams there? Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me and for all your kind words.
Yeah, yeah. It was easy. It was easy to do. I do have one last question, though.
Yes, sir.
It's a serious question that I ask everybody. Mm-hmm. And this would be an interesting one to ask you. Mm-hmm. If you could only choose one song to play every time you walked into a room for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. Any room.
Every room. Yeah.
Any and every room.
Every time you walked into a room. Every time. That's your office. That's the garage. That's the bathroom.
Oh, goodness.
Every room.
Okay. I need to mull for a moment. Maybe Firework by Katy Perry?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm just a plastic bag.
Just floating
through.
That's a good one. That's
Thank
a really
you.
Good one. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. What a great episode that was. It really... I can't say it was my favorite. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I've already claimed that one. But no, it was so good. And like I said, like I said in the intro, the thing that stood out to me was how you put more emphasis on us, the team members, as individuals. And you did it in a very genuine way.
it wasn't, you know, I need to build these relationships so I can get what I want out of these people, but you had a genuine interest in us as people, and it started with the relationship.
Yeah, well, I mean, how exciting is it when, you know, we see God's creativity in our brothers and sisters,
yeah.
You know, when we can really ask to have his eyes and see one another for, you know, the beloved children that we are. Like, that's just an exciting thing. So,
and the other thing that stood out to me was your humility as a leader.
Oh, thanks.
You had a lot of humility. You still do. It's not gone.
Well, you talk so well about me, but I don't know if I can walk out this door after today, Joe. My head is ever growing, and it's not the hair.
But really, your humility of including us as a team, and doing things that you don't want to do, like the experience with the rafting, you know, it takes a lot of humility. And I've been really impressed with it. So,
thank you.
I personally want to say thank you as a friend, as somebody that's part of the media team. And you being our leader, I want to thank you for your leadership and how you've been an example for me personally in being a good leader.
Well, I appreciate it. Definitely couldn't do it without y'all and couldn't do it without Jesus.
Amen. Amen to the Jesus part.
He is the center holding us all together.
Yes.
And I mean, really, I just reflect on we haven't even been together a full year as a team, and just what God has done in our midst and in us and with us. It's just been really exciting, and I'm looking forward to see what else he has in store for us and for GCI.
Amen.
Because it's good things. He's a good God,
oh,
and he's good
amen.
At being God.
Amen. Amen. So a quick reminder, I wanted to mention real quick, be sure to check out the show notes at the resources site. Actually, there's some things that we got on the show notes that you will want to check out that was kind of talked about in the podcast. So go to resources.gci.org/GC podcast, and you can find the show notes there. And then also a reminder, don't forget that you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. You know, if you don't want to be tied to your computer, for those of you that don't know what those applications are, they're mobile applications to where you don't have to be tied to your computer. You can listen to it in your car, on your phone, when you're... I listen to podcasts when I'm mowing or doing the dishes. I can be doing something else and be inputting this information.
Yeah, that's how I start my day every morning, is with a different podcast while I'm doing this big hair of mine.
Yeah. So definitely go find us there, subscribe, share it. And then also don't forget about the regional celebrations coming up. You need to go to gci.org/events for all the information. I don't want to go through all that information. But you can find it all there. We are so happy that you listened to this podcast, and we will see you in the next episode.
Looking forward to it. We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.